No.
Look at the similar shirt area.
The humpus glands are all up on your back because you're
Octavarius, of nefarious.
They were
legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius descended from Planet X, ready to save our planet from harm. He'll make you laugh. He'll make you cry. But most importantly, he's gonna save you. He'll let him speak for himself.
To come back when I found my fun bone.
Pass him the money.
What? Like, do you want to do some shots? And I'm like, sure. You want to get some? Because I wasn't going to buy this girl shots. I didn't know who she was.
Yeah.
But I would be happy. And often we'd get free shots as founding fathers. So I'm like, yeah.
Go for it.
I looked at her and she just kept dancing and looking at me. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm going to go over there then. I'm like, okay, well, come back when you find your fun bone.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Octavarius Podcast.
Yay!
This is episode 116 of the podcast.
Wowzers.
Feeling mean.
And, hey, why not? Without any further ado, let's go to the far end of the room and sound off.
Hey, it's Nick.
Hey, it's Castelby.
Hey, it's Scott.
Hey, it's LP.
Mass Plow.
It's Brian.
It's Tins.
It's Keith.
Remark.
And great. We're having a pretty solid Monday so far.
We're having a great Monday.
Would you all agree?
I mean, that's just me.
Killer Monday.
Killer Monday.
It's just a great Monday.
Oh shit!
What?
Probably nothing. Never mind.
Yeah, no, it's probably nothing.
So I forgot what I was gonna say. Anyway, yeah. So good Monday.
Wait, everyone. I'm concerned.
Yeah.
What's up, B-Well?
Why would you be?
Tins, I don't see any bag around you.
Bag? What?
What are you covering for, Tins?
What are bags?
Where
are bags?
Tins, did you forget that you forgot the mailbag?
Mailbag! I forgot the mailbag! Oh, I forgot the mailbag!
Tins, it's right here. I have it. It's cool. It's cool, you guys. I've got it right here.
Thank you. Listeners will not be able to tell what that is.
It's a white glove.
It's a letter.
It's a letter.
It's a letter.
Written on a white glove.
And the letter is from... Oh, it's from... It's actually from three sisters who are unnamed.
It's from...
And they say, read this letter from we, the sisters three, who fates control and whose your woes will be. Besotted from, engaged in cum. I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
I think I know what that's supposed to mean.
Engaged in cum. and ever from our spinning wheel, your lives will reel.
What?
Hope you have a good fate.
What?
Three fate sisters.
Well, so they are named.
Whoa. What was it about, Mark?
I think it's about
engaging
fate.
In cum.
Because there's, I think it's those, you know those, guys. You know those three sisters, like the,
weird from Macbeth.
Yeah,
but
there's also like a classic, I think it's a Greek thing, there
you're
are three fates.
Hocus Pocus.
No,
you are thinking of Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus. Are you afraid of the dark, the episode with the rat?
You are thinking of the female version of Casper.
You guys are all wrong. I'm thinking of The Book of Three by Lloyd Alexander, which is one of my favorite children's books.
Think of Three's Company.
That's
Andrew
right.
Lloyd Webber.
I'm sorry. I meant The Black Cauldron, which is the sequel to The Book of Three, where you actually meet those three fates.
I played that game.
Okay.
But I think they're Greek. They sounded pretty Greek. Their handwriting looked pretty Greek.
Did they ask what's up with that?
No. They know what's up with that.
Wow.
That's true. So we're talking about fate.
Fate it is.
The CNGM movie,
awesome. Well, Fate Twisted Simply is the name of a movie.
Shortened.
What does that title mean?
Whatever you want it to mean.
It's deep, man.
Look deep, man.
Fate Twisted Simply.
But
I think, okay,
I don't know.
The thing. It does mean something. Steve Coulter, the writer of that film.
What is Fate Twisted Simply?
It is a film about... written by Steve Coulter and produced by CNGM Pictures.
Friend of the show.
Starring Nick Mikula
as, what's your character's name? Like
Drew?
Yeah, something
Harris.
Like a D.
Drew Harris.
Featuring Mark Musinski and myself as supporting characters as we were producers on the film.
And what the story is about a family. There's a father and then a daughter and a son. And the son is at war in Iraq. And the daughter has just come back from college. And the father keeps having these nightmares about the son, and he's seeing this scene repeatedly where his son is killed in action, and he eventually is having this dream, you know, so lifelike that he realizes he can take the bullet for his son.
And this is a film that I saw in college, right?
Mm-hmm.
I saw
this. It won awards.
I don't remember any of the stuff
you're talking about.
What I think is interesting... Well, it's also got... That's one storyline. The other storyline is Nick, who is the brothers away at war. Kevin, I think, is his name?
Yeah.
Kevin's friend, Drew, meets Kevin's younger sister, who he'd known before, but, like, re-meets her since she gets back from college. And there's a sexy love plot.
Is this the one where your name is like Prometheus or some shit?
Nope,
that's a different one.
I'm probably thinking of that.
This one's better than that one.
Yes.
This one is interestingly, like, although we made it a long time ago and sort of the technology wasn't really there. We didn't have fancy cameras.
Technology lots of experience. Was there, you didn't have the money.
Yeah. but we didn't have that technology.
Yes, right. Okay.
And but what's interesting is that the story resonated with a lot more people than, you know, for example, the film you're referencing, which was mostly about my emo feelings 2 years before
you
we actually produced it.
You had a lot of feelings. Let me just say that.
We all had a lot of feelings.
But yeah, that film resonated with a lot of people. And I think
the fate aspect of it had a lot to do with that, because it appealed across generations.
And it implied the possibility of a higher power at work. He had the symbolism of the three orchids that could have symbolized the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in the Christian religion.
Or it could have symbolized other stuff.
Or it could have symbolized the Father, the Daughter, and the Son in the film.
Yeah. Or the Three Fates.
Or the Three Fates.
It only got 6.6 out of 10 in IMDb.
Yeah. Hey,
I
check Normal Life. See what Normal Life.
It's not even on there. I
thought it was.
It's not. I checked Normal Life and IMDb.
Are you sure? Because I have it credited. Go to Mark Mizinski and IMDb.
Okay,
it's linked on.
I was just wondering if you ever made a film, Matt, that anyone gave any stars.
I don't think it did.
Oh, well, in your
fucking face. I said it was 6.6.
I produced that movie and it won awards. You won nothing. Won nothing.
Well, Matt won my heart.
So, nothing.
How do you like fate?
Well, can we actually go over why we're talking about fate today on this particular day?
Scott.
Inspired it? Scott?
Scott, do you know why we're talking about
fate? Is that really why the reason you chose this?
Yeah.
I mean, that they wrote in today?
Because you should have died today.
That's why we chose this letter.
I was getting food.
Oh, wow. So, Makulo, you don't know this.
I don't, so that's, yeah.
I literally came about 6 inches from death today.
What?
So, and it's funny, too. I took a different bus route home than I normally do from work to try to save, 6 minutes. And I had just got off the bus, and I was waiting to cross the street, and I was standing on a corner. And I was basically going to go south, and there was a woman driving going north. And she cut across the intersection, trying to get across, and this was Addison Street, so it was a lot of traffic, it was rush hour. And a guy was going down Addison and just smashed into the back of her, sent her car spinning out of control, hurling directly towards where I was standing.
Oh, shit.
And it stopped. I'm not exaggerating. It stopped about 6 inches from my body. And then the car just came to a complete halt.
Did you move at all? Or were you just
fast? I didn't, because it was just so fast, there was nothing I could do. God. I heard the one car hit the other one, and the next thing I know, there's a car in front of me.
Huh.
And then the guy that hit her tried to pull off and drive away. Little did he know, there was a cop behind my bus who saw the whole thing, and then, of course, pulled the guy over, and the guy's probably going to get in some serious shit. But, so I almost died today. It was probably the closest I've ever come to death or being seriously mauled. And I was just shaking for a good half hour after it happened.
Yeah, it's scary shit.
What did you think about, right after it happened? Because, like, during it, I'm assuming you didn't think very much besides, like, whoa.
Wait, dude, did your life flash before your eyes?
It didn't. I was actually kind of disappointed. So, I don't know if that...
Man,
did that just mean, like, I just wasn't destined to die?
No,
maybe
it wasn't your time.
Maybe if it hit me, I was just going to get real fucked up. And
you're probably just
going to
get
like,
your legs broke.
I heard a theory about that. Scientific
theory?
The thing is, like, that a lot of people describing, I don't know where it came from, light flashing before your eyes is, like, as like your brain dies, like all the synapses and all the things just like fire. So like all these memories that are lodged and just kind of like quickly are just like exploding.
Yeah. But isn't it supposed to happen before anything happens where you die? Like your life flashes before your eyes.
Before you know
before
you're dead.
No, I think it's when you're dying.
When
like,
you're dying.
When you're, like, in the hospital, like, right as you're about to die, your life flashes before
But then why
eyes.
Do they say, like, oh, I was almost in an accident, my life flashed before my eyes?
Yeah, I never
hear it that way. I always hear it like, I was in an accident, my life flashed before my eyes,
I always hear
but
the
I was
car
saved.
Was coming at me, yeah. The lights flashed before my eyes, boom, that's got hit.
Actually, no, I wasn't thinking of anything like that. I was probably, like, there was a, you know, how fast your brain works. It was like, oh, shit, I almost died. I fucking love this Jack White song. So, I mean, if I was going to die listening to Jack White, that'd be all right.
See, every once in a while when I'm listening to my iPod and I get into, like, an odd situation, just traveling at weird times in Chicago, I think, God, I hope I don't die to this song.
So, as in
like the last song you're ever going to hear before you die.
I'm listening to that song on my iPod, and then it's like, oh, I really don't want to die to this. This would be.
What is a song? And this is, I guess, for everyone. What's a song you'd want to die to?
Well, just one that I love.
I guess it depends how I'm dying.
Yeah, it's very good.
Is it slow or
no?
Is it
like spectacular, like something blows up.
Like you fucking kicked a shark in the face and then it exploded.
Like I'm
saving I'm a child.
Yeah, I'm flying a plane with a nuclear bomb about to explode like into the ocean.
I'd say more like accidental. Like you, like kind of like what happened to you today. Like you know, you're like walking and something terrible happens.
Yeah. Now I'm never gonna listen to the song again because I'm gonna think, wait. What if I... Oh, yeah. Never mind. That was weird.
I'll go silly and say... and dramatic and say, Keeping the Dream Alive by Freiheit. Because it makes me laugh.
I think Pink Floyd's Eclipse would be a good one.
Yeah.
Ooh. I want, like, any Queen song to be epic.
Bicycle!
As you get hit by it.
Lisa, you're going to be okay!
I would hate that.
Stay with me!
I'd probably want something like...
Don't you die, not now!
Like trip-hop, like something very like ambient, cool, like Wax Taylor, something like that. Or maybe Portishead. Portishead would be cool with that, too.
I have no idea what that is. I want to listen to that.
It's good.
Portishead
is awesome.
Portishead?
Mm-hmm. Tins, you've heard of Portishead.
I have, yes.
And Wax Taylor.
I have not.
Wax so Taylor's not cool great. Enough to understand that
I'd,
yet.
I'd want
to
hear one of my own songs.
Yeah, you want to hear something you did?
I'd probably die to Batman.
Latino
Is it weird that I get incredibly comforted when anything made by us comes on my iPod?
Yeah,
it makes me so much happier.
Me too.
Yeah, I like me. I like our stuff. I always like listening to things we've done.
Time to dance.
I feel like
this time to dance is so dumb, but so much fun. It's such a stupid song.
I actually my favorite of them all is We Are Most Definitely Human.
Yeah.
I don't know
That's
why
yours too,
I really
right?
identify with We Are Most Definitely Human.
Because you are.
But I love that song so much.
I like cuz stupid. I like stupid things.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
If you guys ever do like an updated We Are Most Definitely Human with like even better recording things, I'd buy it.
It's funny. I
wouldn't buy it because I'd be all hipster and be like, I like this song like it was.
Before they
fucking ruined it with their new cool stuff.
I'd listen to this song when I'm dying, but only if it's on vinyl.
Thank you.
I'd get the live recording or something. But do you guys believe in fate or is life just really, you know, random chance and whatever?
I believe in fate in the sense that I love fucking with what I think fate is.
How do you mean?
Try and change the game.
Yeah, I try to, like, if I'm like, if something is happening where, I don't know, where I feel like I should be arriving at point A, I always, for whatever reason, subconsciously try to end at point B, no matter what.
Maybe you're supposed to be at point B.
That's what I'm saying. Like, who knows? Because I always do that. I always do that.
And did you ever think that you're not meant to twist fate simply?
I'm going to hit you.
fact about fate twisted simply.
I did find normal life.
What was the star rating?
It doesn't have any.
No one voted on it. I'm going to go rate it like a 5.5.
Dude, give it a 6.
It's not better than fate. I can't give it higher than whatever fate has.
6.6, man.
I'll give it 6.5. Fate, it was originally simply Twisted Fate, but I think there's already something called that. Mm-hmm. So then they rearranged the words.
I think that people do have, like, destinies or things that they're supposed to fulfill or could fulfill. It's just a matter of, like, will you fulfill that and will you...
But then isn't that not destiny if they don't fulfill it?
Yes, doesn't the idea of destiny mean it's going to happen, regardless of what you decide? Like, you're along for the ride, you don't get to choose,
yeah,
you know?
The idea of your destiny is that you can't avoid it.
That's where it gets tricky, because I don't believe that someone can just, like, sit at their house and be lazy and then become, like, super awesome and great at something.
No, that happens.
Yeah, it does happen.
Winning the lottery, that's literally what that is.
Yeah, I don't know. I have conflicting ideas, because I think that you do have to work hard in addition to having that, like, luck and destiny stuff.
I believe in people realizing their potential. I don't think I believe in the idea that everybody's future is already written out for them. Because I feel like that takes a lot of the fun out of living and the actual decision-making process.
Yeah, I'd get really bored.
Yeah, if you're under the impression that everything has already been sort of predetermined for you, then what's the point of making decisions,
that's
you know?
Kind of exactly what I believe. And I really... I'm being very hypocritical after the Ghost podcast with this.
All right.
But that's kind of exactly my train of thought, is that we all are on, for whatever reason, this path, and... Whatever choices you make, whatever choices you think you are making to change things, that's what you were going to do anyway.
I guess I can sort of gel with that.
I have nothing to back that up. It's just kind of a belief I have.
I guess at that point, though, does it matter?
What do you mean?
Like, if the choices you'd make to deviate from your path are secretly just your path, then it doesn't really have any effect.
That's like the argument for nihilism. There's a super cool book. I was talking to Lisa about it the other day, and it's about baseball, actually. It's a dude that's super into fantasy baseball, and it's called the Universal Baseball Association Incorporated. And in this book, it's all on probability, because it's it was made in the 60s, so it wasn't a video game doing your fantasy baseball game. With your own league. Fantasy baseball isn't the fair term to take it. It's more like playing a franchise simulation in a video game.
Uh-huh.
And everyone has characters and whatever. And so this man creates his own world based on the roll of multiple dice. And the roll of these die, he even comes up with the probability for death in the game. And so at the end of the book... and I'm kind of spoiling it, but most of you will never read it. At the end of the book, it changes perspectives to the perspectives of the players in the game. And the players in the game know that it is incredibly likely that the pitcher will die in this situation, because it has happened before. And in the likely roll of the die, this will happen again. And it will happen to this man. And the catcher says to the pitcher at the meeting on the mound in this, he says, you know, hey, man, just feel the sun shining on your face, smell the grass, you know, feel the ball in your glove, just play ball. And that was kind of...
Live in the now.
Yeah, and it was just saying, you know, who knows what will happen, but you'll never know if you don't play. Because the pitcher is the one that called time. The pitcher, you know, was like, what do I do? You know, this might happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he didn't specifically spell that all out,
but I mean, yeah.
Because it's a good book.
I mean, that's sort of the decision-making process that we go through every day. Every time you step into a car, every time you take a plane trip, every time you do anything.
Sitting here, a plane might fall.
Yeah, any action that we're doing, there's some probability that it's going to result in our death. And we decide to do those things anyway, sometimes despite higher probabilities of death, you know?
I think that kind of gets into religion and that you just kind of trust, like, everything's going to be okay. There's no need to worry. You know, like, I believe that each person's kind of protected by a guardian angel or whatever you believe that is. So I think I think the belief of fate and, you know, like, the pattern of the universe and all that directly relates to your religious beliefs or how you think the world works.
Do any of you believe that your ancestors watch over you?
No.
Or that they affect your life?
I hope not.
I would say they certainly affect my life in what I know about them and what I've known of them, that the ones that were alive.
Oh, no, I mean like them, like, so they're
ghosts.
Dead?
We're talking about ghosts.
Fuck ghosts. We're back to ghosts.
Maybe it's not necessarily ghosts as we were referring to.
I know what you're saying.
In that other podcast, but it's...
Like they're guiding you from beyond the grave?
I have family members on both sides of my family, Jewish and Lutheran, that believe that, and it's not in the Torah, and it's not in the Bible necessarily, that our ancestors guide us or have an effect on us. But
now, are you talking about every ancestor that's dead?
Potentially.
We all
potentially,
kind of share
but likely the ones that are closer to you, like my grandmother, constantly invokes her father, my great grandfather. And says, you know, like, Opa is watching over you doing this, and Opa thinks this, and she very much is into that. And then on the other side of my family, I have a cousin who very much believes that our near ancestors are watching and are also, you know, trying to take care of us in the ways that they can. And that's part of his belief.
I think that, well, even just looking at it from a scientific point of view, like, if you believe each person has an energy, and that energy is neither created or destroyed, like, it just is, when someone dies, like, their energy, their lifeness, whatever you want to call it, like, it's not just gone forever, like, it's somewhere in the universe.
Which brings back everything in the universe is made of us. And
we are all made of stars.
We're all made of that.
Yeah.
We are all literally, every molecule in our body comes from stardust.
And it just keeps
stardust.
Going through every phase of the circle of life.
Exactly. Well, like, I don't think, it's like literally like a person, like, they can't watch because they don't have eyes, like, I'm watching you. But I do think that it's possible their energy is around and, like, their energy can be present.
And it might attach to you then? Like, how does that go?
That means you're labeling personality to an energy, when if energy is just energy, that means it has no personality.
We also have specific and scientific ways to tell what happens to your energy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you cremate somebody, your energy... is combusted, or like you release that potential energy through the was that chemical reaction then of combustion,
or else your energy it breaks down, decomposes, and goes into the soil, which then grows things
anew.
Are we
defining energy in like a physical way, or like as a soul kind of way?
I think we're just talking in terms of
energy,
actual conservation of energy, conservation.
Because you're using
the way the soul is supposed to be. They also say the soul is supposed to be that 21 grams that everybody loses in that movie. So let's just say scientifically,
the scientist that did the experiment.
Yeah,
I'm unfamiliar.
Under bad conditions.
But I'm also saying,
it's probably.
I guess, Cloud, I'm saying you started your parable by saying if we all believe, and then you cited like a physical science rule.
Yeah.
And that's why I was going with physical science.
Yeah, I go with physical science.
Yeah.
But what I was just thinking, maybe energy is always like around us, and there is a presence of energy, but only energy plus a brain as functioned as ours can have thought with it. So like, so that's where there is actual development of personality. So like, I could have had the same energy as some tree a billion years ago.
Some
was exactly
tree.
The energy that made up Keith Habersberger, but I didn't have a brain, so who cares? Some stupid big old ugly tree.
who's great. Great. I'm not even going to go there.
But, yeah, getting back to fate thing, I do think that, I think, like, everything happens for a reason, or most things happens for a reason.
Seems to be.
But we often find reasons for things happening.
Exactly.
I'm 100% against all of that. But here's my reasoning, though. And in a weird way, I have to deal with this in a way no one else does, because my whole life started with being shit on, more or less, because I have terrible eyesight. And there's nothing that anything can do about it. And I was a baby, so there's clearly no reason that that happened to me. Mm-hmm, so I'm 100% aware that things don't happen for a reason, because I didn't do anything and my life is incredibly harder. So as a result, if fate's real, I am hell-bent on proving it wrong, because I'm not going to live my life under the boot heel of this thing that was saddled on me for no reason.
But Mark, I would say that you are a better person than me. And perhaps it is because you had bad eyesight that propelled you to be such an amazing person. Because you've always had difficulties you've had to overcome. So that's made you such a richer, more well-versed, knowledgeable person.
You might not have become
because you could have seen like all of us.
That's possible. But I don't think that wouldn't be... I guess that would be like a preemptive reason for me having bad eyes.
Well, and then my other like devil's advocate thing, or to play the other side, is... just that our minds are so limited that we don't know, like, the universe's plan or what the exact reasons are.
Yeah.
Like, it could be things that we just totally have no idea and relates to, like, something in BC time. Like, who knows?
But then that's... So it's a reason outside of me? Well, I don't care about it. I can't do anything.
If it's a reason for the greater good, fuck the greater good.
Yeah, whatever. Like, I'm going to prove them wrong, too. Put them on the list.
Or it could be the more direct way Keith was talking about. I don't know.
I take solace in the fact, and LP, I've spoken to you about this theory that I have, and the fact that I believe every decision that we make is... the most perfect decision that can happen within this universe. My decision to lift up this water bottle instead of that remote just now is the thing that happened in this universe. I lift the remote in an example as opposed to the water bottle in the first example. So anything that I do and anything that happens, whether it's bad, whether it's indifferent, whether it causes anything, is completely random. But in this universe, it's exactly what
happened. So are you subscribing to the idea, then, that there is a multiverse and we are living in the perfect universe?
We are living in this perfect universe within the multiverse.
I like that.
This universe is flawed in one way or another, but it's
perfect for us right now.
It's exactly what's supposed to happen right now.
Mm.
No, and then in another universe, something different happens. But
is that
exactly
why you leave garbage everywhere? Is that why that happens?
Yes.
I was just wondering.
That's just because I'm lazy.
He's like, okay.
That's exactly what's supposed to happen.
Exactly where it's supposed
you know,
to
live. I've gained to accept that when I see that you've gone, you've left a pile of garbage.
You mean he left the most perfect pile of garbage?
Yeah. Well, it's just clear. I know where you sat.
It's called a calling card, B-Wo.
There's a really
now he's
cool.
He's going to do it on purpose for the rest of my life.
Here's a trippy theory. There was a really fun. Like science fiction story I read about this, and it was the idea, like, so if you imagine the future, you can imagine the future, and there are certainly futures that are more likely and less likely, you know, like a plane totally could drop out of the sky and fall on this room killing us all, but that's a very unlikely future, and there are lots of fairly likely futures, like we finish this podcast and it's awesome and we have a great time and then we go home, you know, like, and those are very likely futures. A trippy way to think about reality is imagine that the past is that too, and that you're just constructing, your brain is just constructing the most likely past that would have led you to now.
Yeah.
So, like,
Is the blue Nick's mind?
I've thought of that stuff before.
Let me make sure I understand. Yeah. No matter what really happened, your brain is erasing that and saying, here's what we should have happened.
I think what it is
that... almost Matrix rules.
That there really isn't a past. That the past... That there is only right now, and you're just constructing a past. Because events are something that human brains make to... You know, like, time is something human brains construct to help them figure out where, like... Mm-hmm. Identify what's going on.
Like we measure time, but who says time is supposed to be measured?
That's like very Elon Musk thing.
Especially by the way that we perceive time.
There really is no such thing as like time and separating things and compartmentalizing things. Like it's all just one thing.
Nick, you want to say something?
I was
going to
say, never mind. No.
What the fuck? I literally did a hand to say, shut up, everyone else. Nick's got something to say.
What's your deal?
It's like I'm listening. What? I can listen.
But you're reacting so largely.
You said hello.
Well,
I don't agree with a lot of things
that
are being said.
Okay.
But
go on.
Well, please. First of all, perceive. It made me think of Inception. Sorry. Deal with it. Get over yourself.
Yeah, dude, I'm dealing with it.
Perceiving and constructing at the same time is how they describe Inception. In a dream world,
where
you're perceiving it as you're creating it, so you never know when you're dreaming. I just thought of that. I guess my point of view.
This isn't a dream that we're doing right now.
I hope
life
so.
Is
I
a
know.
Dream.
You can't tell me it's not.
I can't. No,
life is but a dream.
I guess my point of view of fate is I don't believe in it. I think it's my same thing about ghosts. I think it's something. This isn't an insult to anyone who does believe in those things.
Absolutely. Cool.
But I feel like it's how you look at. Like, okay, someone who believes in fate, maybe they're, again, isn't an insult to anyone, but, like, maybe they're scared of something. They're scared of, what am I doing with my life? What am I doing? What? I'm not saying it's you. I'm just saying in general, they might be concerned. So they're like, okay, well, I am supposed to be doing this. Okay, I'm calm. Versus someone who's like, I guess this comes from, like, a Castelvian LP is, what the fuck ever, deal with it, you know?
It's my garbage, and I'm leaving it where I want.
Or someone else is like, I don't know, I don't care. Whatever happens, happens. It's either you're afraid of where you're supposed to be in life. What am I supposed to be doing? Like, you know, maybe it's your the perception you have of like, maybe are my parents happy about what I'm doing? Should I be married? Maybe fate says I shouldn't be married. Maybe that's it. You know, things like that, and it's. How people address what they're afraid of, who they're supposed to be, and who they're supposed to be. So they create this fate image of whatever I'm doing is fine.
I just want to say this: someone in the chat room named McCoola's Brain. Is that anyone here? Is McCoola's Brain?
It's not me.
That's funny.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What's McCoola's Brain?
I don't know. McCoola's Brain says, "But what about the scar on my back? I remember that happening." And then,
I love this.
Then I have Gower. I assume it's Brian Gower. He talks. He's getting deep in the chat room. He said, "Perhaps the meaning of lies, the meaning lies between the possible universe and the actual universe, and the greatest achievement." Achievements can be made by envisioning a possible universe and pressing it as close as possible to the actual universe.
Oh, that's total like Barack that. Obama audacity of hope shit.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure it was around before him.
Yeah. Well, now it's Ricky. It's Ricky.
It is. Yeah.
It's Ricky Hashmeyer and McCool.
Why'd you own up to it, Ricky?
Dude, that's awesome.
Way to go.
I need to hear what McCool's Brain is thinking.
It's Ricky.
I don't know if I'd say like I'm actively against fate. I think I just don't care.
Yeah, that's where I am.
Because I'm the same with ghosts, and I'm the same with religion.
Yeah.
I just have so many other things. Like, all of those things are so much bigger than me.
Exactly.
That nothing I do will affect them.
Yeah,
so
like,
I've just stopped caring.
Do you subscribe to the fact that if you knew your own fate, you could change it?
Then it wouldn't be a fate.
If you could change your fate.
If you could change your fate.
Would you be brave?
I want to know what the deal with that movie is.
Yeah, it looks really good.
I don't know what it's about.
She's brave.
She's brave and she's
a red
headed girl.
It's just like How to Train Your Dragons, but without dragons.
Yeah.
It's literally the bad guy. Is it the bear? Is the bear the bad guy?
I'm sure the bear's not the bad guy. The bear was
a bear. It's the third time I saw the trailer
it's
in my
been,
life.
It's a 90-second trailer.
But
there's
bear,
a lot of bears.
They show a lot of bears.
They show,
bear.
Like, a big
and
bear.
And it's swiping at
bear.
The brave. The chick
for?
Who's brave. Bravina or whatever.
Her name can't be Bravina.
It's Brave. Can't it be
Bravilda?
Can't it be Bravina?
Is anyone else main thing that, like, some, like, most things are fated, but then you also have to, like, work hard and create your way.
You mean you have to be brave?
Well, how can some things be fated and others not be fated?
You can't make a fate.
Exactly. I don't care.
That's the point of fate, is that you're not making it.
I don't understand. I can understand one or the other, but I don't understand how you can have both.
Exactly.
Or I guess fate's not the right word, but like some things are like meant to happen, meant to be, but like you still have to work at it. Like
it's
if
like
you're
the
lazy,
adjustment
it won't
bureau.
Happen.
Dude.
Yes. Is it?
Well,
did you see that?
Then that's just saying someone's potential, I guess.
I guess.
It doesn't get any better.
So yeah, I was going to say, like,
potential, and Tins was talking about that at the top of the podcast.
Because that's like, I'm, you know, maybe I'm, like, meant to be an artist. Like, I've got all the skills to be an artist, and it's in me, it's inside of me, and this is totally achievable in my life. But maybe instead of going to art school, I, you know, get addicted to heroin or something.
Dude, I know a guy.
Awesome.
So, like, I could have realized my potential and achieved my, like, my maximum Tins, but instead,
was Tins destined to be a heroin addict?
Who
what
knows?
Are you saying? Like, what are you saying? Is he destined to be the artist?
Because I would argue,
is he destined to be the heroin addict?
Because it can only be those two things.
Which in the most?
Well, you got to pick one, dude. Good luck.
No.
I do not envy you.
I'm your friend. I'll support you either way.
Because Stelvio, you said you knew a guy.
Yeah, to get you H.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Get
cool.
You some H's.
Do you? Does anyone have a guy who can get me like watercolors or something?
Finger paint.
I do know a guy who can get you watercolors.
Okay. Cool. We'll talk.
His name's Michael.
Dude,
I want that pun crown now. Is anyone smart enough to get that joke?
I got a friend.
Thank you.
Always
God bless you.
I got a friend, last name Lobby.
Oh, Joanna.
God damn it.
Oh, terrible.
Fabric store jokes.
Here on Octavarius. Only the finest.
This is why Brian Gower is doing Zoom. I assume.
Oh, Brian Gower, hello.
But yeah, I don't know. I believe in people's potential, and that they could be destined for that. But I do believe that, you know, other things can happen along the way to turn someone away or towards something. But you know, in total fate, I don't know. It's hard for me to believe in that because I feel that most of what I've worked or most of what I've done as a person has been things that I've worked towards, not things I was necessarily destined for.
Maybe you're destined to work and towards those goals.
Maybe so. That's possible.
You were put into situations that were most
be
beneficial
like,
to you.
Brian has to work at things, I guess.
Destined to have these goals by the things that pleasure you the most in life.
Like heroin.
I guess so.
Your goals drive you. I mean, like, you're destined to have those goals.
And you know, it's just so wild. I don't know. It's hard to say.
The other thing I don't like, there's a lot of like fate, sort of like literature around fate, and then also writing that is similar in nature. Thing, you know, things that are like, you need to be happy with what you were given, regardless of what it is. Like, I feel like that's sometimes it's good and comforting, and it can inspire people. But at the same time, I see it also as like a way to repress people. And that I don't appreciate.
I mean, fate and as well as religion is just an opiate for the masses, you know. Just try to quell. McCool is agreeing with me.
Yes.
So, and, wait, you think religion's an opiate for the masses?
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I can agree with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And then there's even predestinational Christianity.
I'm not saying
which is exactly
I'm not saying
what
that
we're
it's
talking
bad.
About. Oh, yeah. I didn't say it was bad.
I'm just saying it is. I feel like it's an opiate for the masses.
For sure.
Do you think that in small amounts it can be
healthy?
Yeah.
Religion? Yeah, of course.
It's nothing. Just because it's an opiate for the mass doesn't mean it's inherently bad.
It's just
a drug that calms people by knowing that there's.
I think it's designed as an easy path to a happy life.
Yes.
If you put your troubles away, and you try to live good, but just own up to your mistakes, realize you did them, and try to be a better person, you will be a better person. And religion just says, use a symbol to do that. And there's this grand symbol, and all there's all these stories to make you feel good and teach you lessons.
I go more over them,
and you invest in the stories, and you invest in that idea, and that is your relief.
I go more over the fact that it says that don't worry about this life. There's another life that is filled with joy, and like, you don't
keep being a happy peasant.
Exactly.
You guys are relating religion right now, just like Christianity and the Bible. What about all the other religions?
I mean, every religion has symbols and has stories.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is that most religions start out with a like a codified set of beliefs, and then almost all of them very quickly evolve into attaching those beliefs and worship structures to people, because we can identify so much more with people. So, like, Buddha, for example, doesn't want you to worship Buddha, but Buddha has become a symbol because we can, like, crystallize our thoughts around something when we see a person.
What if you used to have, like, a very general religion? Because I believe, like, okay, God's everywhere and, like, do good things. It's not like...
Do good things, and when you make mistakes, own up to them?
So you're saying that's not religion?
It's a religion.
No, I'm saying it is. I'm saying it's both.
So
I'm saying
everyone
you can
have some kind of religion?
Well, it's just a network of beliefs. It's just a way to believe, and Christianity provides you with one version of this grander scheme. But really, one person can say, I love trees, and I'm going to make my life good so that trees can grow,
and
when I screw up, it's like I'm killing a tree. And why would I do that? Because trees are perfect. So I believe in trees. Trees are my motivation to be a good person.
You're saying that
because
you were a tree in the past life.
Of course I am, dude. I've got to make it mean something. Keith's got to fight for Keith in this life or that.
That brainless tree, Keith.
That ugly brainless tree. Was a god.
But, like, what I think is, you know, what's interesting, though, Cloud, too, though, is that, like, you have those beliefs, and I always wondered, like, at what point they would become a religion, something like that.
Because I think everyone has a religion in some way.
A religion.
Because it is your set of beliefs.
A religion is, by definition, a set of beliefs concerning the cause, nature, and purpose of the universe, especially when considered as the creation of a superhuman agency or agencies, usually involving devotional and ritual observations and often containing a moral code governing the conduct of human affairs.
I think that's
definition.
Because I normally associate religion also with a community of people with a similar belief, but it doesn't necessarily have to be.
Like Keith's talking about, like, I love trees, that's my religion.
You can have a one-man religion.
It can be any set of beliefs, I feel.
But even more realistically, we have a religion of our friendship that we come together at one time a week, and we share our stories, we share our mistakes, and we share our thoughts, whatever they might be, and we contradict each other's thoughts so that we may have a better understanding at the end of the day, so that we will be better people and make better choices.
Yeah. Definitely make that argument.
Like, that is just, this is just as a religion as Christianity is, just by the fact that we strive to be better people. And since we work with each other, we strive to be better people for each other, for this community.
Mm-hmm. And it's also ritualistic, the things that we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we kill all those people.
Yeah.
Sacrifice those virgins, man. Whatever.
I'm normally a fairly, like, probably not the most in the room, but, like, one of the more, like, sort of factual, straightforward people when we do these things. But I also do think that almost you can create, you know, obviously the human brain doesn't know everything or comprehend everything. And I think that what's interesting is when you do come together in some way, like, for example, I feel like we've been able to create something that is, you know, when we come together and do shows or do podcasts or whatever, we've, you know, used ritual in our behavior, in the lessons we've learned from other things to help us create something more than we would be able to just intellectually on paper as a group. And I think, like, that's fascinating because we do it really the same way, kind of like Keith was saying, that a religion would. We just use the power of ritual to get us past ourselves into some interesting group thing that, you know, that is, that we've basically developed a mini religion around.
And our shows are on Sundays.
And our podcasts are...
Coincidence?
I totally didn't make that connection.
God's sake. Yeah.
There's a lot of blasphymy just happening in this chat room.
Of course. Just straight up
blasphymy.
I'm a coolest brain.
I didn't do this shit. Fuck. They're saying
Octavius is born governed by you would allow blasphymy.
I don't know. I definitely allow blasphemy to happen. This is America, for God's sakes. They have the absolute right to say that we're like Jesus. No, I'm sorry. That Jesus is like Octavarius.
Thanks, Brian. But I'm Lutheran. I'm a Christian. I totally believe in that stuff, and I'm all about it. I feel that a lot of the things that and the values that we purport are very similar to that. And I feel completely okay with all that in the grand scheme of the universe. And I feel that at the end of the day, what we purport is very much in line with that. So I'm all right with that.
You know what the nefarious is? The long form that we do is us coming and we share our beliefs. Like, here's what I think. And we say in objection, like, our story and our point. And what we have to bring to the table, and then we create a world of those stories. So you just morals.
Painting of opinions that are often disagreed upon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even in that sense, the objection, but it's come and it creates this world.
Yeah.
Which is not unlike our world.
Also, since it's generally for a commercial product, we generally allow the good morals to win and allow some sort of satisfactory ending for the audience.
Sometimes.
We have bad morals win all the time.
Yeah,
we do have bad morals, but we have one bad morals that the audience is okay with.
Yeah.
Generally, rarely do we end a show where we completely defy what the audience would believe.
Just start throwing tacos.
Well, I would also.
That's the greatest ending we'll ever have.
Taco show. Taco show.
We're going to have to buy so many tacos.
Shut up, man.
10,000 tacos, I would say.
That's a lot of tacos.
Remember tacos?
LA.
I would also say, too, though, I don't think if we do something that the audience is okay, you know, if we let those bad moral things that the audience is okay with, if it's a bad moral thing the audience is okay with, it's probably not one of their morals. Because I think if it's really something that's a bad moral for you, you wouldn't be able to laugh at it. Because, but if you're allowing...
Because I think you laugh at your own flaws and your own thoughts.
But I'd say like a moral is like a very strong... concrete belief.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't think they take them all so seriously. Not everybody.
Yeah.
I think some people
definitely
do take
not them people who would go to an improv.
Yes. But that's why I'm saying that we're not necessarily challenging anyone's moral code. You know, like what the things we let win. Like, you know, if someone's moral was you should never allow, I'm trying to think of a good example from one of our shows.
I got one.
Go for it. So
I think the
What do you got to say, Brian?
No, go ahead. All right, what's the good one? Go ahead.
Like if you're 100% against gay showers,
you're something real, but you make it up.
So if like you're 100% against gays in marrying and being around, but then you see me and LP just passionately kiss. And then it just changes your mind. It's like, you know what? That's okay. Because there's love behind there.
You think an instance of us making out during an Octavarius show is going to tip somebody over the edge into accepting that?
I've seen
that?
Some pretty good kisses on stage.
You never know.
Me and Ula and McCool and Keith won the award.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That Keith and LP won could have also won
it
the award.
It should have won.
There is an argument among historians and people in literature. Well, gosh, I don't know what you'd call them. I guess doctors of
literature.
English scholars that they argue basically that through our interpretation of these stories, and through how we play with them, that is essentially who we are, and that's our stories of our time tell our beliefs. as a culture. And do you feel that what we reflect in the show reflects what's going on in our present culture?
Yeah, it's definitely. Got a lot of pop culture in it.
I would say so.
For sure, speak about it. And we often make a point as comedians. We are to drive home the underlying point to prod at what's popular.
And we're never offensive on purpose. The offensive that's in our show is just as offensive as a group of dudes our age just dicking around and shooting shit.
Which we're not, you know, the only people who probably think those things.
Yeah.
Which is apparent by the number of people who come to the show.
Yeah, we're just presenting that side of us mm-hmm. is all.
And I think it's just shared in a lot of the collective's mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's their morals or not.
We're saying what everybody's thinking.
Thank you. That's exactly what's happening.
When we did that one workshop, John, then he said that, like, improvisers, I think back in the 60s or something, would be considered almost like shamans. Storytellers.
Okay.
Who relate. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I think you're
exercising shaman? The demons of the society.
So that's a bold statement.
As in, we are shamans because we create. We create discoveries. From nothing, or
like and then manipulate trees. Like, I wish I could.
I think it was very important, and that, like, kind of religious aspect of it, and people look to them to just kind of define what's happening around them. Like, yeah, high-status storyteller people.
Somewhere, but if that was true for everywhere, we'd probably be making a lot more money.
Sure. You think Jesus was an improviser, maybe?
Yeah, probably.
Yep. Probably totally.
He told
all the time.
So many stories.
When you tell stories, you got to be able to bend those stories a little bit.
Thank you, I heard your dildo.
What do you guys want to hear about?
All right, I'll do a magic trick right now. I need two objects from the audience. What do you got? Fish and bread. All right, cool.
Play Beaver!
I heard fish and bread.
A fishmonger.
I heard fish and bread.
Prostitute.
I'm looking for a prostitute right now.
We
right
are,
here. As is custom.
The apostles, so nefarious.
Yellow, one of the Ten Commandments.
We don't know them.
Man, 12 people is too big an improv.
13 with Jay.
Well, that's why they kicked Judas out. Jesus and the Apostles is an amazing 13 group.
Dude, I don't know.
Like, man, if I would be in the 13-person group, Jesus and the Apostles.
Would they all have to dress that way, though?
Yes.
That would be hilarious.
As that
can we just do that for one night? Just offensive night?
People.
It's brilliant. No, we just try to do, like, some parables.
As if we were Jesus and the apostles doing
to do it well.
Guarantee if somebody did a 3 or 4 month run as Jesus and the apostles, and it was 13 dudes dressed as Jesus and the apostles, that would very quickly become one of the more well known improv gigs in the city.
Jesus and the apostles, depending on
Penny. So much negative press.
Welcome to the future.
But it would be packed because of it.
We get protesters like crazy,
dude. I would love to get.
I'd be the most bitch in Timothy.
You need extra guys. I call Thomas.
All right.
I got to fight for Matthew.
Who would
be? Yeah. Shit. I got to fight.
I'm just saying. Insane.
I totally want to be Matthew.
I can be John.
I'm the most Jewish,
though. Steve the Apostle.
You got a pretty good claim on Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, I also have red hair, though. Shit. Oh, no.
Jesus is no ginger.
Everybody calm down.
Judas was.
Are you serious?
Judas was a ginger.
No, there's no Steve the Apostle.
Oh. Yes, dude. There's no
you
Steve.
You want to be Steve the Apostle?
I don't know these guys' names.
Steve.
S-T-E-P-H-E.
It's like the carpenter
Steve.
Joseph works with at his shop.
Hey, we're union here.
Take a break.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, Carl. Carl. Carlos. Carl. Carl.
Lots of Carls?
Can you believe? Yeah, what if the
Carls are there?
Well, oh, there were so many Carls.
There's a bunch of Carls.
There's mostly Carls.
Do you mind if I call you Carl 1, Carl 2, yes, Carl 3, and the Apostle?
Yes, my lord.
Yes, my lord.
And Carl the Younger.
Oh, where are my golf clubs?
Oh, my God.
My lord.
My lord.
Cloud.
Cloud is here.
Well, thank God Cloud's
Cloud
here.
The Apostle. To tell us
about.
Cloud the Apostle's here.
Thank goodness, Cloud, you have arrived. I am terrible at my golf game.
I'm here to solve that.
What do you mean with some of
Cloud's golf tips?
Before you take your swing, close your eyes. Visualize the ball flying through the air, sinking straight into that hole, and think to yourself, it is fate that I will get a hole in one. After that, swing away, and if you miss, then just yell, fuck!
Thank you for that, Cloud's golf tips.
My lord, I'm sorry I brought this woman in front of you.
Goodbye, all.
He's the son of God.
Does Jesus fly off?
My apologies.
By now, he's throwing a smoke bomb. Imagine he flew off like Iron Man. I hope close-up shots on Jesus show his heads-up display in front of him.
Talk to me, Jarvis.
There are several non-believers in Carthage.
Is it Carl? You know, folks, this podcast, as always, is recorded on Monday, and the podcast is released to the public that Friday, which means today you are very likely listening to it on May 11th, which means we've got a couple celebrity birthdays to get out of the way.
Finally.
I've been waiting the whole hour.
Dude, I want to know whose birthday.
So, to all you celebrities that are listening out there, I would like to give a very happy birthday to... Let's go with... To Teresa Burke, Canadian journalist.
And to comedian Mort Saul.
Oh, Mort. Nice. Happy birthday, dude.
Thank you.
And, I pretend I know you.
As always, happy birthday to Andrew Walter, American football player. I'm not finding good ones today.
Happy birthday, Louis Farrakhan.
Happy birthday, Butch Trucks, drummer for the Allman Brothers Band.
Happy birthday to Salvador Dali.
Damn it.
He's dead now, but happy death day.
Tins, birthday. You're getting ruined. Dude.
Happy birthday, Eric Burden, singer of the Animals.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
And some in memoriams.
And to the family and friends of John D. Rockefeller Jr. Hmm. I'm sorry for your loss.
I think they're okay.
I don't have any dead people.
They're just crying into their pile of money.
Well, who else died today? Now I think we can stop doing this.
Tomorrow's Jason Biggs' birthday.
Oh, you know what?
On May 12th.
Happy birthday, Biggs.
Preemptive happy birthday, Jason Biggs.
And Tony Hawk's birthday.
Oh, shit.
Cool. And Stephen Baldwin's birthday.
Well,
Stephen Baldwin?
And Emilio Estevez's birthday.
Emilio!
All on May 12th.
Well, I guess May 12th is just a better birthday.
It's almost Robert Pattinson's birthday on May 13th.
Wow.
I love it. He was born in 1986.
Shit.
Shit, we got some work to do.
Turned 25.
I'd like to point out right now that Mark is rocking the Michael Jackson one glove look at the moment.
For how long has he been doing that? I don't know.
Over several minutes.
Okay, good.
Whatever it was the right decision.
It was definitely, it was the most perfect decision to make.
There's another nearly similar universe out there where Mark doesn't look quite as silly or quite as awesome.
Or need quite as many good words of advice.
Like... Nick McCullough's seven words of wisdom.
Good segue. Okay. Truth time. Shit. No. Wait. Man talk.
This has been McCullough's eight words of wisdom.
Man, we were so close. I really had faith in this one.
I had something actually.
I know you had something.
Yeah,
I saw that you had something.
I was looking at LP's fingers, and then shit, counters one, man, and...
I think you made it in the air.
Maybe that was a perfect thing to do with this. No.
meant to see.
Single-handedly disproves fate.
Yep, your midichlorian counts mean nothing.
Oh, shit.
Yep, that was about fate. And it was dumb.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, that is going to do it for us for this week. Until next time, have 8 days and a wicked week.
Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in.
Say bye, say everyone. Bye, everyone. Although you already are preordained to do so.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye, Ricky. Bye, Brian.
Please find the coolest brain. Twitter at Octavarius. So
bad. Don't run for your lives. You're running out of time. Close and lock the door. He's coming back for more.